Chapter 29, The Beavers. Every day the beavers swam along their dam, inspecting and repairing it. The wall of the wood and mud allowed only a trickle of water to pass through, and it had turned a narrow stream into a wide pond with many animals now called home. As Ross and Bright Bill walked around the pond, they passed hundreds of chewed up tree stumps, proof that the beavers needed a constant supply of wood, and this gave Rawson an idea. The robot swung her flattened hand, and sounds of chopping wood echoed across the water. They were soon replaced by the sounds of footsteps and shaking leaves as the robot carefully walked along the beaver dam with a gosling on her shoulder and a freshly cut tree in her hands. The beaver floated beside their lodge and stared at the bizarre sight with open mouths until Mr. Beaver slapped his broad tail on the water, which meant stop right there. The robot stopped. "Hello, beavers. My name is Roz, and this is Bright Bill. Please do not be frightened. I am not dangerous." She held out the tree. "I have brought you a gift. I thought perhaps you could use this in your beautiful dam." "No thanks," said Mr. Beaver. "I have a strict policy never to accept gifts from "Don't be ridiculous," interrupted Mrs. Beaver. "We can't let a perfectly good birch go to waste." "I'm afraid I must insist," said Mr. Beaver. Miss Beaver turned to her husband. "Remember how you asked me to point out when you're being stubborn and rude?" "Well, you're being stubborn and rude." Then she turned back to Ross. "Thank you, monster. If you'd be so kind as to drop the tree in the water, we'll take it from there." "I am not a monster." Ross tossed the tree like a twig. "I am a robot." The tree smacked against the water and sent the beavers bobbling up and down. Just then, Bright Bill started peeping. "Ma, hungry." So Ross dropped a ball of grass into the nest. "The gosling thinks you're his mother," came a quick voice. It was a paddler, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver's son. "His real mother is dead," said Ross, "so I had to adopt him." There was a brief silence. Then the paddler looked up at Ross and said, "You're a very good robot to take care of Bright Bill." Mr. Beaver sighed. "Yes, yes, that is very good of you, Ross, but I don't understand what any of this has to do with us. My son and I need a home, and Loudwing said you would help us build one." "Of course she did," Mr. Beaver muttered to himself. "Loudwing gets me out of one lousy jam, and I spend the rest of my days doing her favors." Miss Beaver glared at her husband. "Sorry," he said, realizing that he was being stubborn and rude again. "Stay right there, Ross. We need to have a family meeting." The three beavers slipped under the water, and a moment later, their muffled voices called could be heard inside the lodge. The robot stood on the dam and patiently waited with her son. "Mama, Mama." "Yes, Bright Bill. I am trying to act like a good mother." A ripple and Mr. Beaver's head appeared above the water. "If you bring us 4 more trees, good, healthy ones, maybe I'll have time to help you and the gosling." That is wonderful," said the robot. "We will be right back." Chapter 30, The Nest. "I've built my fair share of lodges over the years." Mr. Beaver stood at the water's edge. "But I can't say I've ever built one for a robot and a gosling. So just what exactly do you need?" "We need A lodge big enough for us both, said Roz. It should be comfortable and safe, and it should be near the pond. How long do you plan on living in this lodge?
I don't know.
Then we'd better make sure it's strong and sturdy. Mr. Beaver stroked its whiskers as he thought. Do you plan on having friends over? The missus loves to entertain guests.
I do not have any friends.
No friends? Well, you seem pretty likable for a monster. I mean, a robot. But if you want my advice, you should grow yourself a garden. Your neighbors wouldn't be able to resist fresh herbs and berries and flowers. Just you wait and see. So we'll make sure there's a place for a garden, and we'll give your lodge some extra space for all your friends you'll be hosting. The beaver winked. We also need to find a way to keep your lodge comfortable when it's cold outside. Our lodge is heated by our own bodies, but I think we'll have to find another way to heat yours. The beaver and the robots thought about heat for a while. The first thing that came to Ross's mind was the sun, but then she remembered the hot sparks she had felt while sliding down the mountain peak. I could heat our lodge with fire, she said. Mr. Beaver blinked his little eyes. I will need to experiment, Ross continued, but I think there is a way. You go right ahead, Ross, said the beaver. But would you try not to burn down the entire forest? Do not worry, I will be careful. Let's move on, Mr. Beaver sighed. The next order of business is to find a site for your lodge. That meadow across the water would be perfect, but the hares will have a fit if we try to build there. I think we should clear out some trees and build right in the forest, and I know just the place. The beaver took them along the water and up to a dense section of forest that jutted into the pond. We need some work, Mr. Beaver trudging through the thick weeds, but this ought to do the job. Yes, this ought to do the job, said Ross in her friend's friendliest voice. Job, said Bright Bill. Mr. Beaver was incredibly skilled at taking down trees, but even he couldn't keep up with Ross's powerful chopping hands, so he let the robot do the hard work. He pointed out the tree and the shrubs that needed to go, and Ross started hacking away. By sunset, they were standing in a newly cleared site, and they had more than enough wood to build the lodge. You did some fine work today, Ross, Mr. Beaver yawned. I'll return in the morning and we'll pick up right where we left off. What would you like me to do? Said the robot. Tonight? So you still feel like working, do you? Very good. Well, you can start by digging out those tree trunk stumps. And you can collect all those large flat stones over there. And you can smooth down the patch of dirt so we have a level place to build. That should keep you busy. The next morning, Mr. Beaver returned to find that Ross had been very busy indeed. All the tree trunks had been dug up, the holes filled in the dirt, 20 large stones had been stacked, and the ground was now perfectly level. But what most astonished Mr. Beaver was that Ross and Bright Bill were huddled around a small crackling campfire. Mr. Beaver moved his lips, but no words came out. Bright Bill was cold last night, said Ross, so I taught myself how to make a fire. But how? I discovered that when I strike these two stones together, they create sparks like this. I directed sparks onto dry leaves and wood until they ignited. Once I had a fire, it was easy to keep it going, and if I need to put it out, I can just add water. Mr. Beaver sat and warmed his paws. I've never seen fire in such a neat little bundle. He stared into the flames. I've only seen it blazing through the forest, burning everything in its path, but this is marvelous. He took another minute to enjoy the warmth. Then he and the robot got back to work. Mr. Beaver asked Ross to dig a trench here, to place large stones there, to arrange logs this way, to smear mud that way. Birds and squirrels perched in the trees and watched the new lodge take shape. It resembled the beaver lodge, but it was large, a great dome of wood and mud and leaves. A simple opening in the wall served as the entrance, and the door was nothing more than a heavy stone that the robot could slide out of the way. Inside the lodge was one big round room. The arch ceiling was high enough that Ross could stand upright. A fire pit was set into the center of the floor, and a mesh of thin branches above acted as a vent. Long stones lined the inner walls like benches and were covered with thick cushions of moss. There was even a hole for storing food and water for Brightbill. You've got yourself a beautiful pond view property, said Mr. Beaver. What are you going to name it? I do not understand. Why, a beautiful lodge like this deserves a name. We call our lodge Streamcatcher. The robot's computer brain didn't take long. The lodge is for Brightbill. Brightbill is a bird. Birds live in nests. Could we call the lodge the Nest? Hush, squeaked the beaver. The nest is a fine name for your lodge. Nest, nest, laughed Brightbill. They stood outside the nest and admired their handiwork until Mr. Beaver's belly began to grumble. That sound means it's time for me to go get dinner. Thank you very much for your help, said Ross. We could not have done this without you. You're quite welcome, said Mr. Beaver, smiling. For your garden, you'll want to speak with Tawny, the doe, who lives over the hill. She'll know just what to do. And now, if you'll excuse me, I have to hurry home before Patter eats all the best leaves. Enjoy your first night in the nest. Chapter 31, The First Night. The stars were out. A fire was crackling in the fire pit. Ross and Brightbill were settling into their first night in their new home. This lodge is where we will live from now on. The robot plucked her son from his little woven nest and placed him on the floor. I hope you like it. The gosling did like it. He liked that it was big and warm and peaceful, and he liked knowing that the forest and the pond were just outside. He waddled around, peeping to himself and exploring every little corner of the lodge until it was time for bed. His mother carefully laid him on a soft cushion of moss, but he didn't want to sleep there, so he put him back in his little nest, but he didn't want to sleep there either. Brightbill looked up and said, Mama, sit. Ross sat down. Then he said, Mama, hold. Ross held him. The robot's body may have been hard and mechanical, but it was also strong and safe. The gosling felt loved. His eyes slowly winked close, and he spent the whole night quietly sleeping in his mother's arms.